If the church keeps doing what it has been doing for decades now in connection to disciple making, we're going to continue to see a decline in Christianity in our time. Because when we began to believe a small gospel that was man-centered and focused on our afterlife in heaven, and then while we're here, we just attended church and tried not to sin while on earth, we lost the one true mission of the church, which is make disciples of Jesus. There's no better time than today to start changing our minds and changing the church and changing the world.
Welcome to the Life Scope Podcast, where each week you'll learn how to live with greater intentionality and an integrated faith that naturally fits into every area of life. This is the stuff that your parents, teachers, and pastors forgot to tell you. I'm Heath Hollinsby, here with your host, Caesar Kalinowski.
Hey, Heath. What's up, my brother?
Hey, man. We're into February.
Hard to believe it. Did you get your Christmas tree down yet? Just kidding. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago that the guy came and took my Christmas lights down. They're like, my roof's too high and peaked, so I can't do it. But it was I'm not going to be that guy. Just leave him up.
You know, that's Kathleen's dad, my wife's dad, father-in-law. That's his company in San Diego. That's all he does all year. Three months of the year, he's busy.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Install lights, tear them down,
store
them.
If I didn't hate being on a roof so much, I'd make it my side hustle.
And he's outside in San Diego. I mean, come on. You're living the life.
I don't like it.
Hey, what are you doing for Valentine's Day? Anything?
Well, yes, there will be something, but I confess I don't have it completely mapped out just yet.
Okay.
I don't. You know, listen, man, when you live the romantic joyride that Tina and I, no, I don't know. I'm just kidding. No, we'll do something. You know, we just had this conversation the other day. Tina was like, hey, you going to do a Valentine's Day episode, you know, on the podcast? I'm like, nah, I don't think we are, you know? She goes like, well, you could talk about this or that. I'm like, I could, but that's been talked about a billion times by other people that really focus on this. But I have this little chink in my armor with Valentine's Day. It's a fake holiday.
Yeah, it is true.
Well, much like Christmas, it started out pagan originally. It just did, but that's okay. We get to redeem culture. But it wasn't really a holiday for like now. And I don't know. I read some statistics the other day. It was something like each year in America, we will spend, I think it was like $12 or $20 billion on Valentine's Day stuff. Yeah.
It's like the Black Friday for candy.
I mean, look it up,
restaurants.
Dude. It was some ridiculous thing. Anyway, and that's fine. But I just feel like, you know what? Tina will get probably get flowers again, you know, and all that, and she'll get me some. I usually get my daughter something, but I'm like, I really feel a little bit like Hallmark, you know, like you've ripped us off, you know. So I don't know.
I'm reading the stats right now. Okay, this was back in 2000.
Oh my gosh!
It was over 1.1 billion with more than 110 million roses. That's 20 years ago.
Years ago. No, dude, it was into the 12+.
Oh my gosh!
There was it was so.
Oh, 19 billion. Yep, there's a new article right there. Holy cow!
Okay,
19.
I mean, that's more than Christmas, is it? I know it's.
Oh,
crazy.
What is that divided by per American?
Dude, it's a lot, right? More than it should be. Well, and then there's the ripoff of it. Like, I go to the same place for roses on Valentine's Day that I get Tina flowers not Valentine's Day, and it's 3 or 4 times as much.
Mm.
So that also bugs me. Like, don't go usury. I'm buying flowers all year. Like, you know, roses are like, when we lived in Manhattan, roses were $6 or $7 a dozen.
Really?
Every day, all day. Almost never didn't have fresh cut flowers on our table. In Manhattan when we lived there. Because they were just, and not just roses, all kinds. Yep.
Wow.
It was like $7 a dozen. Jeez. Like, and when they would rip you off, it'd go up to like 10.
That's amazing. I wonder why.
Yeah, well, because I think when it comes to flower consumption, New York is the number one city in America, maybe in the world.
Because there's no natural.
I don't know. People just love them, man. Because you should. No, I don't know.
Flowers are amazing.
Anyway, let's get to the topic.
Here. All right. Okay. Hey, we want to talk about, first of all, the podcast being on so many different platforms, from Pandora to
Spotify
to Amazon,
Pocket Cast.
Yeah, things I've never even heard of.
Apple Podcast, of course, yeah.
And so we actually set up a website. If you're like, hey, I haven't subscribed yet, I need to. If you just go to 123lifeschool.com/subscribe, there's a bunch of links right there. You just click on one.
You
click.
Probably listen on one of those. And you can always listen on our website too, but chances are you're listening on your phone or in your car or whatever. So yeah, do
it,
that.
It gives us good feedback and it lets us know kind of where metrics are, who's listening, what they're listening on, where they're listening from. But the other thing it does too is like we all live really busy lives and we're very consistent. Next week is 3 years of weekly Monday. We haven't missed an episode.
Hard to believe it.
But if you just subscribe, then it's cool because Monday morning, ding, your phone gives you an alert. And what better way to start the week off than listening to how the gospel can apply to your life that week?
I love it. Thank you. Thanks for that.
Yep. Was that good?
Yeah, that was great.
Hey, so today we're going to look at a bunch of false beliefs and misconceptions and bad practices and faulty actual church tradition that is connected to discipleship and the way the church in the West over maybe the last 50, 60 years has understood it. And I might say, like you said last week, we might poke a couple bears, or you said you have a burr in your saddle, which...
A burr under my saddle?
I don't
mean?
Know what you said.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
You're going to have fun.
Yeah, and I think... Like what you just said, it's like there's all kinds of stuff. There's misconceptions, false beliefs, all that kind of stuff. And how all that's what we're going to talk about, and how all of it's shaped our lack of discipleship, really, or the present discipleship crisis, as some would phrase it, that we're experiencing in much of the church today. We really are. Hmm. It's not, I mean, there's a lot of talk about the need for it, but there hasn't been a lot of change. And so really what I want to talk about today is like changing your mind about discipleship. I think there are some serious key issues, and until we believe differently, we won't really start to make the changes that we need to make.
Okay, and we were talking ahead of time, and you've kind of broken this down into like a list of things that we really need as leaders and even just as Christians to change our mind and our practice about when it comes to discipleship. So maybe we can get into that with your first thought.
Yeah, okay, great. So here's a bunch of things on the list that we need to change our minds about concerning discipleship, and some of which we've probably touched on before on the Life School podcast, but I've been running into these same challenges a lot over the years and a lot recently. Like, it's not getting that much better, okay? So I wanted to talk through a few, and they're not in a perfect order or based on importance, like hierarchy or whatever, perfectly. I mean, I tried to kind of put them in some logical order, but they're all, I think, pretty important, okay? So here's the first one.
Okay.
There are not, and this is something we got to change our mind about. There are not two different classes of Christian, meaning there are believers and then there's disciples, okay? There should be no difference in what it means to be a believer or a disciple. So that's like good. We got to believe that. See, true believers or followers of Jesus will seek to increasingly live his life for his glory and for the glory of the Father, right?
Yep.
So to say you can be a Christian or like he's a believer, but he's not a disciple, that's false. I just don't see that in scripture. But we want to kind of say, well, but that's just the reality of it, man. Well, that comes from a small little false gospel. See, if we think the gospel is say a prayer, get out of heaven, sin management until Jesus gets back or we die and go to heaven, well, then guess what? Then people could say, well, that's a Christian because he said the prayer, but yeah, no, they don't really follow Jesus to try to live like him or make other disciples. That'd be like a fish saying, you know, I choose to believe I'm a fish, you know, like I've invited fish into my heart, you know, whatever. And I want to benefit from, you know, all that it is being a fish, but I never go into the water. I leave that to other people.
Sure.
That's just maybe that's not the best analogy, but that's goofy. We've got to believe that. So we've got to start looking out across our communities, across our churches, and going, you know what? If they confess Christ, then they are disciples, and they get to, like, you know, they get to make disciples.
Yeah, and even Jesus, right? Like, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, he said to go out and make disciples. That wasn't an optional thing. Like, you have to be a disciple.
You say, well, what about all the rest of the crowds? Yeah, well, he thinned them constantly because when he called them to lay down their whole life, very few followed. And he even said to his disciples, hey, listen, the road is super narrow.
Yep.
And most will not live it.
Yeah, you're right.
Right? And they'll go back to religion. Right?
It's the easy thing to do.
Yep, it is. So anyway, here's the next thing I think we got to change our mind about. And it kind of follows this last one. Discipleship flows out of our God-breathed identity, not out of religious obligation and activity.
Yep, you're right.
Right? Like until we start thinking of it, it's like, well, no, like you're supposed to make disciples. And so like, all right, I got to get through these classes or whatever. Like, no, we are a family because God's our common father. We're missionaries because we have a missionary God who sent a son on a mission who then challenged us and commanded us to go out and make disciples. We're servants like Jesus was. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be a disciple. We're a family of missionary servants, now sent as Jesus' disciples to make more disciples of Jesus.
Yeah.
That is who we are. And I've said that phrase a zillion times before on the show, but we've got to change our mind about that. Discipleship flows out of identity, not out of religious obligation.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Because when it flows out of obligation, we're too busy. Like, it's not, you know, like when you have to do something, it's like, good luck.
That leads right back to the last one. Well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I don't really have a lot of time for that. Like, I mean, you know, probably when I retire or something. Who knows?
Yeah. Right? No, identity, it changes everything.
Oh, man. Okay, third one. Discipleship is a lifestyle, not a set of classes, and it takes time.
Yep.
Like, we got to change our mind about that. And I, you know, I know a lot of people right now are going, yeah, man, you're right. It's not a set of classes.
But most churches are structured to have like a set of classes. Like,
if they even do,
if
right?
They do it, yeah.
If they even do, right?
Yeah.
Even if they do. So discipleship's a lifestyle. And by the way, it reminds me, we did a two-parter, which we don't do that often, but we did a two-part episode creating the right discipleship environment. And it's really—
I do remember that.
Yeah. And so go check out both parts one and two of that. It's called Creating the Right Discipleship Environment. And if you just want to Google it, just put that in. And part one and part two are in there. And it really goes through, like, what did Jesus' lifestyle look like? And that's why he was able to make disciples that went on to make disciples and change the whole world. And we're still here talking about it, right?
Yeah.
So we got to make that shift. Discipleship is a lifestyle, not a set of classes, which means it's going to take time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I remember being growing up in the church and hearing like, well, how else are you going to be discipled if you're not here on Wednesday night? Like, well, if it's just happening on Wednesday nights, it's probably not discipling.
Or Sundays. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's so much more than that.
And here's number four. See, they're not a bad order. These are kind of leading into each other. You got to change your mind about this. Discipleship does not happen effectively from just hearing sermons.
What?
You know, it's just one more sermon and we would be the most like mature body of people in our whole city would be changed. Now, yeah. And I don't want to say that sermons have nothing to do with our discipling, because if the gospel's being proclaimed and it's helping us move from unbelief to belief about things, that's a part of it, but it won't happen just through sermons.
Yeah.
And I, even the best preachers, I think, would tell you that.
Sure.
And I've known some really famous, and I still do, really smoking preachers, but they would say, yeah, that's not really discipleship. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's a part of it. God uses that. Certainly he uses that. And I love preaching. But
yeah.
Discipleship does not effectively happen just from hearing sermons. Okay. And if that was the case, if it was, now there's this thing called the internet and there's a zillion great sermons on it. So problem solved, right? Problem solved.
Yeah.
But it's not. And we're going the wrong direction. Okay.
Yep. You're right.
All right. Number five. And I think I got 10. Let me just go down
the list.
I got 10. Yeah. Here's number five. Discipleship is not like a one-on-one activity.
Hmm.
You know, some people are like, well, you're right. I got to get back to it. It's one-on-one. I got to find somebody. No, like, let me tell you, discipleship doesn't happen one-on-one to maturity.
Sure.
Aspects of it, just like parenting, you might say, well, you know, like, do you do everything always, the five of you, Tina and the three kids?
Hmm.
No, not always. Sometimes I'm just with my son. And, well, do you ever talk about the gospel and try to disciple him in gospel's heart? Yep. Well, see you there. I'm not saying it can't, but it won't happen to maturity. It has to be in community. It takes the body of Christ to make a mature disciple. Here's why. And maybe I've said this before, but there again, this is one of those changes of mind, is discipleship's not one-to-one. So don't say, well, I'm going to get in, our church is going after discipleship, and we're going to start this whole new one-on-one, you know, discipleship program.
Yeah.
Well, it won't go very far, because here's the thing. No one person is Jesus.
Hmm.
So if let's say you're just coming to faith and you and I are pals, and so you and I hang out a lot for the next 2 or 3 years.
Sure.
And we're going through all kinds of books and everything. Who are you most going to resemble spiritually in the next 3 years?
Probably you.
Probably me.
Yeah.
And though that might help in a sense, right?
Yeah.
Like you're learning some stuff and you're moving from, I'm not Jesus.
Yeah.
And you know me well enough to know, like, God's still working on you, bro.
Sure.
Right? It takes all the different body parts coming to bear, all the different,
yep.
You know, gifts and experiences and maturity levels and all of, and perspective and all that, right?
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. It takes the gospel in community together out on mission, out of our comfort zone to really become mature.
Hmm.
Without the gospel, we're not going to become mature disciples. Discipleship
sure.
doesn't happen, okay? That's an easy one. Without community, we're one-on-one. I'm not Jesus. I just
yeah.
talked about that. And without living out on mission of making more disciples, well, then we don't, like, what are we gospeling? Like, it's easy to say, like, man, look at this guy. He's so holy. He's just sitting there in silence. There's coffee in the back, donuts. He's like taking notes like a, like a on fire, you know? No, it really takes living out on mission together in a community to move to maturity. So until we change our mind about that one, yep. In a lot of places, that's like their highest thing is like, everybody win one. You know, it's like, no. Now, where does one-to-one discipleship have its, I think, value in community? As you identify people of peace in your life, those people who are leaning into relationship, you put an arm around them.
Yep.
You get them under wing to make sure they're connected to community.
Yep.
Don't let them drift away, right? Like, sure, you're going to have times with them alone, but your best thing you can do for them is get them connected to the body, connected to a community that's gospel-centered.
Absolutely.
That's
something I'm really passionate about, too, because if you look at the way most of the Eastern, like, world, the Eastern church does community.
Yeah.
The West is really huge on this, like, my personal walk, this is between me and God.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's just not the way that it was ever practiced originally.
Yep. Go into hiding, study the book.
No, it was always done in community. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's how Jesus learned the word. That's how Paul learned the word, you know, as humans, right? He was the word, but still as a man, Jesus was taught, right? As a boy growing up and all that temple. So, okay. Number six, another one we have to change our mind about. Discipleship's not a passing on of doctrine and knowledge about the Bible.
Hmm.
So all the deep Bible studies in the world don't necessarily equal discipleship. Because
that's
know that.
Point.
We've sat in lots of Bible studies and no one's living it. No one's out discipling anybody.
Exactly.
No one's serving anybody. They're not living out of their identity. Because you know what? It's not Bible literacy that we should be going after. It's gospel fluency.
Say that again.
It's not Bible literacy that we should be going after, knowing lots and lots and lots of Bible.
Sure.
It's gospel fluency. It's the ability to speak and live and proclaim the good news into every area of life. Because remember, discipleship's that process of moving from unbelief to belief in every area of life.
Yeah.
And so just Bible literacy and knowledge alone, that's not discipleship.
Hmm.
But true discipleship, you're going to learn and live out all kinds of scripture.
Yeah. You know? No, you're right.
But we got to make that shift because still so many people are like, oh, we just got to get more Bible in people. That's the problem.
Church I came from, that was the same way. And I was like, no.
And I'm not saying don't teach the Bible. Please don't anybody hear that. Yeah. I'm not minimizing it even. I'm just saying that's not Bible. That's not discipleship alone. Otherwise, you just see, like, what did Jesus do for three plus years with his disciples? They just sat and read the scrolls, baby. No, it was life on life, right? And there again, go back to those two episodes on creating the right discipleship environment. And it gives a whole bunch of the discipleship environment of Jesus and what that really, really looked like.
That's right.
Yeah, man. Super, super important.
Yep. All right, let's keep moving. This is good.
All right, man. Number seven, discipleship is living your life as if Jesus lived your life, not you get to live your best life now and fit in a little religious activity or attendance when it fits.
Hmm.
And I don't think too many people would disagree with that.
Sure.
You know, like, oh, well, I thought these were things we have to change our mind about. Yeah, we do. You know why we need to change our mind? Because we put up with it.
Hmm.
And that kind of goes back to an earlier one. Where it's like, well, but there's two kinds of, you know, Christians. There's those who've said the prayer and they kind of just hang out and praise God, they're saved. But then there's disciples.
Sure. Oh,
the serious ones, you know, it's the 80-20 rule or whatever. It's like, no. And so we get to expect by the power of the Holy Spirit that we will increasingly live our lives as if Jesus was living it.
Yep.
And there's a great quote out there. I couldn't find it today, but there's a great quote about that. And it's not just assuming, well, you know, they said the prayer. And they're, you know, they're out building that American dream and living their life. And, you know, they kind of show up that the average now is 1.7 times a month. And you know, when it fits, you know, but yeah, they're not really involved in community that much. But, you know, yeah, that's just kind of how it is these days. Hmm. No. Discipleship is living your life as if Jesus lived your life. Guess what he was focused on? It wasn't like building his business and getting the best house, didn't own one, didn't have a business. You know, it was his Father's glory and helping people understand and live in the kingdom and then pass it on. Like make disciples and teach them everything I've taught you. Live with them the way I did, right? Help them obey all this stuff and live this out. That's life in the kingdom. That's where they're going to have their best life now.
Yeah.
Like, let's believe that Jesus lived the best possible life of any human ever did.
Yeah.
And let's expect that's what God's doing in their life. And let's not settle for them just sort of living their best life now and fitting it in a little.
It really is the good news. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, it is.
It's for all people.
All right, man, let's keep moving. Okay. A lot of these. Number eight, Discipleship is the only mission Jesus gave the church, period. We got to change your mind.
Wait. Yeah. You mean it's not the dream plan and the massive budgets and the everything else?
New sound systems, lighting.
Yeah. Better children's program, better bus ministry.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. The new wing. No, it's not. And there again, a lot of people are going to like, I don't need to change my mind. I believe that. Discipleship's the only mission Jesus gave the church. Well, then does your budget reflect that?
Hmm.
Does your calendar, does your staff's time reflect out in the lives of tons and tons of people making disciples?
Yeah, no.
It doesn't.
Yep.
Very few. I'm not saying nobody. So I'm not, sure. You know, like I said, I don't mean to be poking people in the chest, but right. See, discipleship's the only mission Jesus gave the church because it's always been a part of God's eternal purpose to fill the world with his glory.
Who's what he's like, yeah?
Yeah, what's exactly. And who's exactly the glory of the Father? Jesus. Yeah. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is the glory of God. And if the eternal purpose is to fill the world with God's glory, in other words, Jesus, and so disciples of Jesus living his life with his spirit, that's how the world gets filled with God's glory. So that's why, duh, no kidding, the discipleship would be the only mission Jesus gave the church. Hmm. We've got to change our minds about this. And we got to quit giving it sort of a nod and like a programmatic side of it or something. But really, because we got bills to pay, it's about getting enough people into this building and, you know, eking out the 3% of them that'll tithe and sure. So we can pay the bills. I mean, there's great implication here.
Mm-hmm.
There really, really is. So if we just put that up, on the wall, you know, challenging my brothers and sisters who are leading others and working for churches or just even leading community, discipleship is the only mission Jesus gave the church.
Yeah, you don't need a sexy slogan. That's beautiful.
Just it's put the one that, thing you've yeah. called just, to. And look at your calendar and go like, okay. This is the only mission we got. And that leads perfectly into this next one, number 9, okay? Discipleship's not the job of one person or one department in your church.
That's so good.
Okay? It's not.
You don't just pay your pastor to do it. This is all hands on deck.
You know, yeah. You know, or the person who's like, you know, the director of discipleship ministries. Like, and I know a lot of people, you're going, that's my job, you know, or I just hired somebody like that. Well, good on you, because you're trying to move the right direction. But if pastors and elders and all of your staff, et cetera, are not living this as a lifestyle and priority themselves, well, this is never going to change.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, we're all busy running the program over here, so this one guy is going to help other people go out and make disciples. No. The only mission of the church, we just talked about it, is to make disciples. And so discipleship can't just be one person's job or one department. I mean, that's just goofy.
That's stupid.
I've used the analogy before. Can you imagine, like, you own a Honda car dealership, and what's the whole mission of the Honda car dealership? Sell Hondas, you know, right? Take care of Hondas, repair them, you know, but sell Hondas. And you're like, yeah, well, you know, there's a guy whose job that is, but the rest of us, it's something else. Like, what are you doing? Well, you know, like we work on the lighting and like making sure the coffee's made and the chairs are set up right and the lighting's just right. And we move the cars around a lot and we talk about how cool it is to drive. In fact, every week I talk about how awesome driving Hondas is, you know, but you selling any? Nah, that's, we hired a guy, sales manager.
Yeah.
But he doesn't like, but you know what? Sales manager doesn't drive a car and he doesn't like Hondas particularly. Like what? No, but he says there's a guy that does and he works here. Like what?
Yeah, it's so backwards.
Like, no, like we got to change our mind about it. Discipleship's the only mission, period.
Yep.
And it's not one person's job. Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Okay. And here's number 10.
Okay.
Maturity in Christ will only come from disciples making disciples. Like if you want to be a mature Christian, you got to get into the game. You got to make disciples.
Yeah.
And I just share that from experience because I spent a lot of years studying and listening to sermons and doing all the classes and you know, signing up for, you know, all the programming and really all that. Hmm. It wasn't until we really got into community and started living this life and making, and I'm talking even as a pastor.
Sure.
That like discipling each other and the life on life and the sanding down of my fear and my preference and my selfishness and all that. Like you, there's no way to mature like living in a gospel-centered community on mission. There's just not. There's not. If you want to be mature, make disciples. If you want to have a church that's mature, disciple people, and mature disciples, make disciples.
That's right.
So don't say, well, our church is pretty mature, or there's couples that are super mature. You know how I'll know if they're mature? They're making disciples. Yeah. Don't tell me you're a mature disciple but I don't make disciples. You couldn't be.
Yeah, it's impossible.
It's impossible.
You're neglecting the very thing Jesus told you to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But it does seem like people and pastors and church leaders will really need to wrestle with the implications of changing their beliefs in connection to each one of these, right?
Yeah, because in everybody's context, how they specifically work out these 10 things, if they change their mind on them, there's, like you said, there's great implication.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be important for sure. And it's going to be very easy to hear this episode, be slightly offended, nod for most of it, feel like, well, we're tackling a couple of those, you know, and not make a whole lot of change, though, you know. You know, or we're going to, you know what, I'm going to up my promotions on Sunday for our 101, 201, 301, and 401 Sunday school classes, you know, going to get it done, you know. But like I said earlier, if the pastors, elders, and staff are not living this as a lifestyle and a priority themselves, this is never going to change. Yeah. I recently saw a set of statistics that blew my mind, okay? And it was crazy. This organization interviewed and polled a whole bunch of leaders, church leaders and pastors, right?
Okay.
So here's the statistics, okay? Churches who identified training people to disciple others as the most significant area of breakthrough they had in the previous year, 20% of churches polled said that.
Like, what the heck are you other 80% doing?
I know, right? I know.
Eight out of 10.
But the 20 said, yeah, the most significant breakthrough we had was in actually training, equipping people to disciple.
Wow.
Okay. 48% of church leaders who identified training people to disciple others as the biggest growth opportunity for their church. Okay. So half of leaders said, yeah, our biggest growth, 48% said, our biggest growth opportunity is discipling, training people to disciple, you know. Wow. And second place wasn't even close, according to the statistician, okay?
Jeez.
And then church leaders who believe that receiving training themselves is the most important next step for taking their discipleship process to the next level, 51%.
God.
Now, see, that one doesn't surprise me. Now, it surprises me that 51% of pastors say, hey, my biggest leap of growth and taking my church and discipleship to the next level is going to be me receiving training. And you know why that doesn't surprise me too much is that most people who are pastors were never discipled.
It's true.
They went through seminary, head knowledge.
Yep.
And most people tell you've been through seminary. I'm one of them.
Yep.
I didn't learn a whole lot about disciple making.
No.
You know, it was more how to run a church.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Maybe how to preach or whatever, or be a Sunday school or worship leader or youth guy or whatever. And I love that because that's more than half that say it's a priority for me to receive training myself. And you know what? I don't want to shame anybody. Our church didn't exist when most of us here in this today, we weren't raised in churches, even if you're pastoring, where you were discipled, where the gospel touched down in every area of life and how to speak it and live it. And it was a lifestyle.
Sure.
Right. And people saw your life and how was I trained? How was I discipled? Man, I was with people. I saw their parenting. I saw their marriages. I saw them fighting, forgiving, gospel in each other's hearts. That's how I learned.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I did some seminary, you know, great. Sure. But no, most didn't. And so, you know, that's why we've given so much of our time in life to coaching people. You know, Tina and I, it's the best thing we do. You know, okay, I love the podcast more now. No, I love the coaching we get to do. And I know that the folks we coach listen to the podcast as well. I love you guys. It's the greatest privilege we have is to help you disciple you, but in ways that are reproducible. So, and we're watching you make disciples to make disciples and change your churches, change your neighborhoods, like little by little. And it's happening, right? And so, listen, I have to say, like, if there's any interest at all in being part of that 51% of leaders, church leaders who feel like that receiving training themselves is their most important next step, please check out the coaching that we offer. Okay, just in a little while here, we're going to be, you know, starting up some new cohorts. And even if you're hearing this like, whoa, I don't know when this was recorded, we're always coaching. Just go to 123lifeschool.com/coaching.
Okay.
COACHING, right? Coaching.
Yep.
And that'll take you to a page. It'll kind of explain what we do. And you'll fill out a little thing to see if it's a good fit and if we want to talk and see if it's a good fit or not. It's not good for everybody because we're serious and coaching requires some effort.
Yeah, there's some action items.
Yeah, right. So anyway, if you're interested at all, 123lifeschool.com/coaching. I would love to have you. Now, we don't have tons of spots because we can only coach so many people. And
the way you guys coach is, it's not like, hey, see you next week. Don't contact us.
No, it's high touch.
Yeah,
you see my phone blows up all day with Voxer messages. Yeah. I love it. It's my favorite part of the day. Yeah. What's going on? These are like our family.
Yeah.
Like, so like, I want you to be a part of the family.
All right. Awesome, man. You get to.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Big three.
Yep.
All right. We want to leave you, as always, with the big three takeaways from today's topic. If nothing else, things we don't want you to miss. And you can get this as a printable PDF as a free download by going to 123lifeschool.com/big3 right now. Caesar, what are the big three for this week?
All right. Here's the big three. Don't miss these. First one, if the church keeps doing what it has been doing for decades in connection to disciple making, we will continue to see a decline in Christianity in our time.
Yeah, the stats say that too. I've seen reports.
Because when we began to believe a small gospel that was man-centered and focused on our afterlife in heaven, while we just kept attending church, trying not to sin here on earth, we lost the one true mission of the church, make disciples. Okay? There's no better time than today to start changing our minds, getting some equipping, changing the church, and starting to change the world. In light of what Jesus commanded us to do and promised us he would do with us, right?
Yeah. He didn't even tell us to go to church every Sunday or to read a Bible every week or to like
go
it
to
was
church.
Literally
those words never came out of Jesus' mouth.
No.
And that's not a slam. Please go be with the church. But
make disciples.
Your building's not a church. Yeah, make disciples. Yeah.
All right, number two.
Okay, number two. God's eternal purpose has always been to fill the world with his glory, what he's like, his essence and love. So the grand mystery of the ages, Paul said it was the mystery revealed, is that he always planned to do that, filling the world with his glory, through disciples of Jesus, filled with God's own spirit, making more disciples of Jesus all over the world. Every nation, every state, every city, every neighborhood, tribe and tongue, okay? Mm. And you know what? We get to be a part of the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to waste our lives, what, chasing the American dream, die, and we leave it all to who knows what?
Yeah.
Come on! Or the whatever country you live in. I've talked to other people, like, we don't call it the American dream, but we call it the Swedish dream,
you know,
the Norwegian dream life or whatever. It's crazy. All right, here's number three.
Okay.
Talk through these 10 shifts in thinking with your church leaders or staff or community. Like, if you're bold enough, right? Like, I'll put all 10 in with the big three.
Okay.
Okay. Or listen to the episode, right? And pause it or whatever. And, do that, right? And decide on what the implications are for you and your people.
Okay.
Remembering that discipleship starts at home, the leader's home, and moves outward from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Get into a coaching relationship to learn how to be a disciple, how to be a disciple making church or leader.
Yeah.
Chances are, like I said earlier, you've never been discipled in a way that the gospel spoke into and transformed every area of life. So don't stay stuck. Be humble, get some help. Yeah. And again, I would love it if I could be your coach. And again, Tina and I coach as couples, because if you're going to do this at home, you got to be doing it as couples.
Sure.
I mean, we have some people, we do singles now and then, or someone's like, well, there's just no way I can do this with my spouse, whatever. But it's so rare right now. We almost only do, and we prefer to do couples, right? So again, if you want to just at least check it out, see what's into it, and I know it's easy to fluff it off like, I don't have time for that. It's like, that's why we don't have disciples making disciples,
Yeah.
Or like, oh, it costs something. It's not free. People literally email me, hammering me. Oh, I got to pay? I got to pay to be a disciple? No, you don't have to. But if you don't know how, where are you going to get it? And if you don't know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So check it out, but I think we're giving this away.
Awesome.
123lifeschool.com/coaching, right? Check it out. And maybe it's a good fit. And we would love to be your coaches and help you live this life and help you see others make disciples and make disciples. It's work. It's not a mystery.
Yeah. Hey, time's up, but next week I'm super looking forward to our 3-year anniversary.
Yeah, me too, man.
3 years of Life School Podcast.
Not going to say what that episode's going to be about.
Yeah.
And it won't just be like a best of or anything like that, but it'll be great.
Should we let people know Bono's going to be on? Or not yet?
Bro.
Oh, sorry. I
haven't confirmed that yet. $200,000 is a lot for 10 minutes. I don't know if I have it.
He's a popular guy.
Popular.
Hey, join us next week for 3 years of the Life School Podcast. I'm super stoked about that. And thanks for joining us today. For more information on the show, you can visit 123lifeschool.com/podcast.